Bring on the socialism, I say.
That's, that should be a soundbite right there. Yeah. Bring on the socialism.
I like parks too.
Ready to start the show?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where apparently I want to extend my vowels. My name is Brock Dennis. This is where we simplify the good life.
And I am Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective. And we mean a global perspective. And enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Well-timed.
Thank you.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living. And today, Sleuthing 2, the Electric Boogaloo.
The case has not yet been cracked. Adrian, hello. How are you?
I am doing very well.
So I was trying to pronounce your last name, and it morphed into a hello, and so I apologize for that.
I noticed that.
But yes, I could just let that go past. But we're not that kind of show. Welcome back. We were discussing, it's been almost a year since the last time you were here. So apologize for our for not inviting you sooner.
That's all right.
Good to see you again.
Seems like yesterday.
It does. It really does. As though it was all a dream.
Yes.
And by a dream, I mean like all spring and summer and fall. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
all those time periods.
Yeah, yes. Welcome back to Portland. You've done some travel.
I have,
and we're going to ask you about all of the other things that you have opinions about in just a few moments.
Cool. So we're going to be here all night.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Flores.
Yeah,
happy whatever it is,
Montana's statehood.
Oh, is it today?
It was yesterday.
Holy fuck. Because I love Montana's statehood anniversary, and I totally forgot that it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I still don't have that rock from Steen's Mountain for you, but I promise.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
It's all right.
Well,
yeah. Hence the black magic cake.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, there was a cake that was made for...
For Montana's statehood.
Long-time listeners will know that we're stepping around a thing that you don't want mentioned.
That's right.
I will... Let us make observances all.
Yeah. It was a good time. We had sushi.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. What kind of sushi do you prefer?
I'm more on the, like, ahi tuna end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You like a good ahi steak.
Oh, yeah.
You're a pescatarian, not a full-on vegetarian.
Correct.
Per se, depending on how strict you are about those definitions.
Fish is delicious.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. I remember, I was telling Adele the other day about something you had said to me. I think we were talking about bacon, you and I. And yep. I was like, you know, it must be that you don't like the smell of bacon or something like that. And you were like, no, I love the smell of bacon. I choose not to eat it. Yeah, it was something along those.
It couldn't have been bacon.
No? Okay,
no,
so you don't like bacon.
No, I hate bacon. Okay, I've never liked bacon.
Okay. Well, I don't know what it was. There was something about...
It might have been like steak.
Maybe that was it. You were like...
That is certainly true. I love anything. Actually, just about any meat grilled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's on the grill, like, my mouth... I'm actually... My mouth is watering just kind of talking about it right now.
Right, right. And see, this was the paradigm-busting thing for me, because I am not a vegetarian, but I like vegetarian things. You've been a vegetarian for how long? Years and years now.
What year is this now?
2015?
14 years.
Okay. Look at you.
Yeah.
Well done. But I remember at some
minus
point...
Minus one.
You are good at math. I just remember at some point having a conversation with you about it, and I was just assuming that it was like, oh, like meat is distasteful to me, and you're like, no, it's fucking delicious. That's why I can't eat it.
Yeah.
Because
well, that's part of it.
The raging appetites of humanity can't sustain, like,
yeah,
as we all know.
That's probably the biggest part is... Well, okay. This is more information than probably anyone has cared to know about.
Oh,
me.
Come on!
But
people are
honestly just started it on a whim.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Fuck it. I just won't eat meat anymore.
Uh-huh.
And see what happens.
Yeah,
I've done that a lot.
Yeah,
I think I've tried like 50 times, and then I'm like, oh, steak.
Okay. Right. Right.
And, yeah, I don't know. I think because there was so much pushback from where I was living at the time, I was, you know, living
You lived in steak country.
Apparently. Well, yeah, there were a lot of cow farmers around there.
Yeah, and it's what you do for fun.
And I think maybe because there was so much pushback, and I'm like maybe the predecessor to every internet troll.
Yeah. You are?
Yep. You found
just
the source.
Buttering back and forth across the surface of the lake, dropping tasty comments into the water, just hoping someone will strike.
I mean, as far as like, if I grew up in the internet age, I probably could have easily found myself becoming an internet troll.
Sure, sure. I'm glad you didn't, by the way.
No, me too.
Yeah, yeah. Except for
anyways,
a certain local news commentator.
Yeah.
Whom you have no reservations about trolling.
I'll troll the fuck out of that guy.
Right.
He's great.
Right. I just did an inside joke for anybody who reads The Oregonian. But yeah. So it's, you know, he who shall not be named.
I was going to say, you haven't narrowed down many of the people in the media, but.
There's only one that's universally despised.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I shall distinct that. I don't troll him.
No.
My bike does.
That's an important distinction.
Via Twitter.
You want to keep your hands clean, sir. Oh. Oh, yes. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, because there was like so much fight, like pretty much the day I decided not to eat meat anymore, I think because of that, it confirmed my decision.
Yeah.
About things like, you know, meat culture is kind of weird and not very healthy.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a strange way. Like if you step back, even as a meat eater, and you look at it and you go, wait.
Yeah.
That seems like an insane amount of effort to get meat things.
Well, to get it onto your table and into your mouth. Yeah. And advertising is actually really interesting now that I don't eat meat and looking at advertising for products I know I'm not going to buy.
Right. It's like, like the Carl's Jr. burgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or not even necessarily burgers, like the whole steak, what's for dinner, or it's what's for dinner campaign. It's just really weird. It really tied into this whole patriotic, like if you don't eat meat, you know,
must be a socialist.
Yeah. You're a card-carrying commie.
Yeah. I was going to say, or commie. Yeah, one or the other.
Right, right.
You know, the communists had a lot of meat, too.
Yeah.
But then they ran out of cows because they ate all the meat.
Oh, okay. See, that's why communism doesn't work. Like, it's a great idea
on paper.
They
just shared it all with everybody.
And then ran out of meat.
Not enough cows. Yeah.
But anyways, where were we talking?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this would segue into how I spent my week, which was not really all that interesting, except that this is the first week I've ever packed a week's worth of lunches for myself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which I'm really excited
and
about.
And it's not all the same lunch?
Oh, it's all the same. Oh.
But it has meat, too,
I'm a man of routine. No, it doesn't have meat. But here's the thing. I live an hour away from work. I work at a place which is not near anything except for this one mini mart that has like a deep fryer and a hot case.
Oh.
And so.
And this has gotten you in trouble before.
Well, I think it continually gets me in trouble. I've always like said, oh, I'll just walk across the street and spend $10 a day on like some deep fried burrito and, you know, a couple of soft drinks or something. And so this time I realized, A, I usually eat a burrito. I can make burritos at home.
That's true.
So doing that. So I made these bean burritos. They're just like pinto beans with Stubbs barbecue sauce. Makes some excellent flavoring.
Yeah.
And sriracha sauce. I found that if you put both cheddar cheese, so sorry, vegans, I apologize if it's not your thing, but cheddar cheese on one side and peanut butter on the other, and you wrap the whole thing up.
Cheddar cheese and peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the beans and the Stubbs and the sriracha.
It's fucking delicious.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's not all that bad for you. I mean, it's not great for you, I'm sure, but it's better than what I was eating.
Oh, sure.
So
it's
that,
also like $1.50, right?
Something like that. Yeah, totally. And each one is like 800 calories, so it's like, you know, energy hit. Yeah.
B.
Yes.
Yes.
A, making
A.
burritos. B,
oh, okay.
I found out the Viso Beverages, which is...
oh, my God, yes.
You're a fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like emergency, like that powdered stuff that you mix up with all the like vitamins and minerals and stuff in it, except it's got caffeine.
It's got a
shit ton of caffeine.
Yes.
Like 300 milligrams.
Three cups of coffee per container.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And just like... It's like a 12-ounce bottle, isn't
it? Yeah, and wrapped
20,
in
I think.
Vitamins.
Oh, it's 20. Okay.
So it like... You're on that caffeine all day.
Yeah.
It's not like wham and then you go collapse.
I'm still on it right now. Yeah. And so I found out you can buy that from the dock down on Swan Island from Miletus Beverage.
Oh, yeah.
I was paying almost $3 a bottle for it from the mini mart, but I can get it for, I think, $1.90 a bottle if I buy it in bulk from the dock.
I was going to say, you have to buy it in volume?
Yeah, so I'm going to go down with the Bob trailer and buy like 3 or 4 cases of it.
Nice.
And haul those to work.
I want
to
get in on that with you.
Yeah?
Because right now I'm just lazy and I spend like $2.50 a pop at New Seasons
or
whatever.
But you are a Viso fan.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I have the endless supply in my refrigerator.
Right. We're not sponsored by Viso, by the way, which I should make the clarification. If Viso wants to sponsor us, I will totally talk them up from here until the day that I die. I heard about them a long time ago from my radio hero, Rick Emerson, back when they were on the AM airwaves. And so been a fan ever since.
They're like made here, right?
Yes, it's a Portland beverage.
I was here for like maybe hours and somebody was like shoving a Viso in. I'm serious. Like this guy who we knew who was living here for like maybe a couple months.
Yeah.
He was like our contact in the city.
Okay.
Was he super happy in his hands with a slight tremor as he handed you the Viso?
He was, yeah, at that time anyways, yeah.
Yeah, so Viso Will, my favorite flavor, because it's, what is it?
Ditto.
Cranberry and what's the other?
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit, yeah. But it's got a blue label, so it doesn't taste like either one because you see blue.
And 0 calories.
Zero calories because it's sweetened with stevia.
Oh, it's the stevia one.
Yeah, and I'm not super. I'm not a huge fan of stevia, like on its own. Like usually, it has a funny taste, but in this combination, it works perfectly.
It's not so bad.
This is the best thing I've ever had. It's way better than Diet Coke. So,
were you about to contest that?
No, I wasn't even going to start on Diet Coke.
So yeah, well, you know. So, anyways, that's me. That's one. Choice of simplifying the good life is I'm packing my own lunches because I have no excuse. I should have done this years ago.
Yeah.
And I just, like, in the past couple months, stumbled upon this, like, sweet heat burrito thing where you get the sweet barbecue sauce and the sriracha sauce, the peanut butter. And I call it kind of like a Thai burrito or whatever,
sure.
Just because peanuts and
it
sriracha.
Makes it kind of a satay kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. But really, really good. I had 3 of them today.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's good. Which means I had a lot of calories.
Does it fill you though?
It does. It does. It's got that. It's got that stick 'em quality to it.
It's right got on. Beans and rice, right? I mean,
no rice, just beans.
No, just beans.
Yeah,
no, that's still pretty
effective.
You should
add rice though.
Well, maybe
it makes a complete protein.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, beans and rice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look into this. Okay, we'll see.
It also is like cheap.
Right. Right.
But you know, don't buy too much from California. They're out of water. It's a water crop.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Sourcing is an issue.
Yeah.
I'll think this over.
Even though if you support the crazy policies of California to grow insane amount of stuff that uses excessive water, don't stop buying it. Buy lots of it because then they'll be forced to get their act straight.
To fix their problems.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That was interesting seeing that firsthand. You know, Adele and I were in the mountains when they declared a total shutdown of all the campground water systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we were smiled upon beneficently by the camp hosts that let us use their tap. Because they don't shut off. When they shut the water off to the campground, they don't shut off the tap to the host.
Yeah, that would be dumb.
Yeah, because the host, like, that's their job, is to live there. So they need water. So we got water from them. But, yeah, yeah, California has a water issue. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple of years. So, anyways, all that to say, that's a thing that I'm doing now is packing lunches.
If they would just research more into the water reclamation and of wastewater, like the reclamation of wastewater.
Wait, you mean like drinking water that's already gone through a human body?
Yep.
I never have done that, and I will never, sir.
You may not have a choice.
You're doing it.
I mean,
we all do it every day. In a way,
we are.
Yeah. And I'm kidding. Yes.
But yeah, yes. We may not have a choice. Is the thing like?
Let's all drink our own urine.
Cutting. I feel very like convicted in this. Cutting the funding to that research was a really dumb move.
Well, a lot of it's kind of done though. I mean, we know how it works. There's people that have their systems that are hooked up that way, and they're off water grid.
Right.
But the other ridiculous thing too is the amount of water California uses doing completely dumb things.
Right.
Like watering, I don't know, the sidewalk.
I've seen
for
that
real?
Happen. Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about like the sprinkler that's bent
it's
the wrong way.
Like,
right.
Sprinkler's made to water the
sidewalk. Right. It's made to water the sidewalk.
Oh, seriously?
To seriously like push stuff off the sidewalk into the street.
Ah.
Because if it goes off the sidewalk, then the homeowner doesn't have to clean the sidewalk. The city has to deal with the sewage.
Ah.
So we're dumping, like, clean water into the sewage every day.
Right. And it would be one thing if it was, like, an irrigation system where they're just using water that already came from a canal or something.
Right.
Which came from somewhere else. But
exactly.
Yes.
But, so much of the cities and so much of the systems down there are not doing that. They're taking completely fresh, potable, human drinkable water.
Right.
And dumping it into a completely ridiculous usage.
It's a waste of purification systems.
Yeah.
So at the risk of losing all of our Portland listenership here.
Oh, really?
I was just worried
about our California listeners.
Oops.
Well, we'll shift the focus then.
Yeah,
now that we've
ahead.
Alienated
go
those
ahead.
People, let's alienate some more. What about the bubblers?
Oh, the Benson
fountains?
Bubblers
yeah, the
in
Benson
Portland.
Bubblers.
Ooh.
Yeah, those are pretty ridiculous too.
Uh-huh.
But here's the difference.
Yeah.
Whether we use the water falling out of the Bull Run or not is going to keep flowing.
It's going
to down.
It goes to the
sure.
Columbia.
So, like,
okay.
If we're not using the water, it's going to end up downriver anyway. So it's kind of like, are we really wasting it, or are we just giving it another opportunity to be used?
Right.
Right?
To be purified, at least.
Yeah.
For anybody who's not familiar with it, the Benson Bubblers are water fountains in Portland that are largely downtown, and they run all the time.
Right.
Except when it is freezing.
Right, because they don't want them to break, because they were put in like 100 years ago by a...
Mr. Benson.
Mr. Benson.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was, some entrepreneur or some weird thing
right.
like that. And
one of the things he made was fountains.
Yeah, he said, I wanted to provide water to Portland, so he built a bunch of fountains everywhere.
Yeah, and here's the agreement. I build the fountains in Portland, you supply the water.
Exactly.
Guess who got screwed on that deal?
Well, building the fountains was just a one-time thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the water that they run all the time, yeah. every day, unless it's freezing. So, yeah.
Hey, but...
So, hey, everyone, go on out.
Oh, I should turn that off.
Purify your water. Purify everything. Drink your own urine. So, yes. now that we've got that out of the way.
I like how that call to action ended there.
You know what's better than that?
What we're drinking right now.
That's right.
Well, yeah, actually, what's better than that is anything, but...
How about some product placement? How about going to the beer mongers to get yourself a nice beverage that's been canned or bottled or is on tap and put into a keg and ready for your consumption over at 12th and Division. Yeah,
they'll even let you come two times in one day.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You can
you
go back?
There.
Like You can I, go
I
there
live,
once.
I used to live three blocks down the street, and they let me come in a second time and buy more beer.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Holy
that's
shit.
A thing. So that's
never
exactly
thought about doing that.
What you need to do. So it's just the sort of thing. It's like, hey, if you're nearby, I was just wondering if that's the sort of thing where like you got cut off once and then you left and then you came back.
Oh, no.
And then you were sober enough to drink again.
I've only been cut off by one establishment in the Northwest.
Oh,
and
really?
That was in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
At some hoity-toity whiskey bar.
Oh.
Which I also thought was insane. I was like, you're serving whiskey. Most
people
drink one shot, and they're already on the way.
Yeah, toasted.
My friend laughed loudly at the bar. They cut us off.
Because he laughed loudly?
Because he was affable?
Yeah, he freaked them out or something because he was loud for a half a second.
Okay.
So then we realized we were cut off after about 10 minutes, and then the bartender
Well, they didn't tell you were cut off.
Right, they didn't tell us.
They just...
And,
but they decided.
So we
the passive aggressiveness.
Yes,
of them.
And then all
exactly
of a sudden, done.
What it was. It was like this weird passive aggressive bar thing. And then we were like, well, we're not even remotely buzzed, really. That was like one taster,
right?
And the guy got freaked out and cut us off
for
whatever reason,
right?
So then we were like, oh, let's go to that punk bar fun house down by the Space Needle.
Okay.
We went down there and drank cheap beer, watched like three punk shows, and had a freaking blast with like a billion people we don't know.
All
and
night.
It was awesome.
Nice.
And you know what? We might have got drunk.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you did not laugh loudly.
And we didn't. We hollered a few times. And we had
Look
a great
out.
Time. And nobody kicked us out of the funhouse. That was great.
That's good. I mean, it's good to know where you can go. Really, it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
we were kicked out. I think what it was, though, they were a little scared of Lenin outside.
Oh, yeah?
Because, you know, he's standing right there in the statue in Fremont.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, this is in Fremont.
Yeah, it was in Fremont.
Okay, so, which is my favorite Seattle district so far.
Mine, too.
Yeah.
They painted his hands red, though, to
Did
give
they?
Him the appropriate blood reputation of
okay.
his history.
Was this an activist hand painting?
I don't know. It was pretty messy, though.
Okay. So not done by a pro.
No.
Okay. Fremont is also home of the troll that lives underneath the bridge
right. Yeah.
That is holding in its hand a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yes. I brought my wife up to see that. the beetle thing,
yeah.
which takes a second to find.
It does.
It's in the hand.
Right.
And then we walked down and saw Lennon. And, well, she is from where that statue came from.
Uh-huh.
And she immediately thought, like, can we get a knife and, like, stab it and burn it and destroy it?
This is America.
Yeah, she's
all.
Like, this is not the country to have that in. And I was like, you have a point. But anyway, it's just a statue. Just leave it. We can go. We don't have to look at it.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Wow. Well, so anyways, the beer mongers, it's a good place to get a beer. One thing that we're going to be doing this Sunday is we're going to join the beer mongers team, the cycling team.
That's right.
Team the beer mongers. I don't know if there's a definite article or not. But
there wasn't. We mentioned that.
Oh, team beer mongers. Okay.
The interview with them.
Thank you for clarifying. You have a better memory than I do.
They're going to need new jerseys.
Wait, really?
Because
does
it
say
be team the beer mongers? No.
It's going to be
no.
Oh. So, anyways, the cyclocross season is wrapping up here in Portland, and they have a big blowout at the Portland International Raceway. So Sunday we're going to go out there, and we're going to take the field recorder, and we're going to stand around and drink some beer and talk to people about what's happening with the cyclocross races.
Yeah, we're just going to yell at cyclocrossers.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
And drink beer.
Nice bike.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's free and it's open to the public. So anybody can come and join us. So if you want to, please do. Also, what is it? Tim Mooney was a fan of Almanac Brewing because he has a relative or shirt tail acquaintance that works for them.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a tasting of Almanac Brewing. Oh, my camera. Oh, okay. It's the 27th of November. So if you are around here the 27th of November, you can go. And
what day of the week is that?
That's a good question.
Isn't it like the
I think
day
everyone
after
should
Turkey
go take
day?
Out their calendars and find out. Yeah, I believe it is. I think it's the Friday. Yeah, exactly.
Well, as we're talking about events that we may or may not be at.
Yeah.
The Saturday before Thanksgiving is Cranksgiving.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And volunteering. We're helping out. You and I are helping to make the gears of Cranksgiving turn.
I've actually got that entire time set aside.
Nice.
I took that time off of work for it.
It's really nice of you.
No pressure, Tom.
Giving to the make this a good volunteer experience. But yes, Cranksgiving is the event in which everyone goes, and it's like an alley cat race, but for a cause.
Yep.
So yeah.
And there's still room for volunteers if you don't think you want to be on a team.
What day is this?
It's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. What is that?
So is
the 23rd?
Yeah, that sounds right. Wait, something like that.
Oh, you said 23rd, not 27th.
The 27th
is the tasting.
Is the tasting at the beer mongers.
Okay.
If you're still with us, folks.
Sorry. Just clarifying for everyone out there in the audience.
No, thank you.
We do this in real time, so you have time to pull out your calendar and make notes. So, anyways, that's a thing that's happening, and I'm excited about it. Yeah, this will be the first time that I have participated and not ridden or raced.
Yeah, yeah. This will be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to wear your Team Sincerity uniform?
I could. Or should I wear the tiger suit? I could do either one.
I was thinking of wearing the Team Sincerity uniform.
Okay. We could cover both bases.
I guess, well, if Adele doesn't go and she doesn't mind me borrowing the tiger suit.
It's a good question.
Her and I
we
are
could find
the
out.
Same size.
Right, right, right.
We've got options.
We do. So many options. Yeah. So that's all happening. So anyways, all this is kind of a way to say go to the beer mongers, get yourself a beer, because you know who's almost always there? Sean.
Oh, I was going to say there's a seat for you.
there's a bar stool for you to purchase from the beer mongers.
Still, for $10.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Piece of Portland history. And we are serious about, like, you know, if you want to pay for the shipping and the bar stool, we will totally wrap that up for you and send it your way. We should get one for here.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Every now and then we have like a fifth guest.
Right, right. We could perch them up on that.
Yeah.
Then they could swivel around and talk to everybody.
We'll just set them in the center.
Exactly. Yeah. Or we could use it to set beers on.
Now that's a good idea.
I mean, there's so many ways this could go. Well, Adrian, are you interested in telling us about Europe?
I could tell you a few things about Europe.
I'd like to know what your experience was when you were there. And you've been there multiple times.
I have.
Since you were here.
Yes.
You've been to Europe more times than you've been on the podcast in the past year.
This is correct. I have. I've gone over there to speak. I've gone over there to wander around aimlessly.
Which did you enjoy more?
Did you wander around aimlessly and like just not speak at all then?
Yeah, I did that some. And sometimes I wandered around and talked at the same time. That was kind of freaky.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say that I've enjoyed all of my European trips.
Okay.
Regardless of what activity I'm doing, I enjoy what I do, biking, technology-wise or whatever.
Yeah. Because America is kind of fucked, right, as far as like kind of getting their act together. There's not a lot new and innovative happening here.
We still look kind of like 1932 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before the Second World War.
Yeah.
But with fewer streetcars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't. Actually, we look like a broken America from 1932. That's okay. What we look like. Okay. So, yeah, I need to clarify that. Because, yeah, right. 1932, actually, we were building tilt trains, faster speed rail, and we had streetcars everywhere still. And interurbans and commuter rail and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was actually kind of a multimodal utopia at the time in many ways, except for the fact that, you know, 20% of the population was unemployed at the time and starving to death.
True, and civil rights had not yet happened.
Yeah,
so.
and there was quite a few other horrors of the time, yeah.
Right, so transportation-wise, we're broke in 1932.
Yeah, we were doing all right in 1932, but... Okay. Yeah, Europe has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The two key places that I have been is in Poland, in Krakow, and in London.
Okay.
I got to say, as far as bike infrastructure is concerned, we're actually going toe-to-toe with London.
Is that right?
London is... The cyclists in London are batshit insane.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that in favor of, like, the motorists in London. They're nuts, too. If you ride around in a car in London, you're an idiot.
Okay.
Because... there's no reason. One, you get congestion charged, right? Two, there's all these people driving lorries around trying to do their job.
Right.
And you're in the way.
Lorries, like big old semi-trucks.
Right. Well, except they're like really small.
Okay.
Small semi-trucks.
Because the big ones...
articulated
but
box
deliveries.
Trucks.
Deliveries.
Well, deliveries, yeah. But not like deliveries here where the whole 60-foot tractor trailer is in there. We're talking 20-foot trucks, little ones.
Okay.
Because you can't fit the big ones in London.
Are they articulated?
There are some, but those are mostly... they stay on like M1 and the... highway things, whatever they call those.
Yeah.
But in the city itself, you basically have little bitty roads that are built for carriages and such.
Right.
And then you have cyclists lane splitting.
Nice.
And not just cyclists, though.
Uh-huh.
Motorcyclists, moped riders, and people
anything
walking across the street.
They're small enough to get.
Right. So, like, people walking across the street will lane split.
Yeah.
What? I kid you not, man.
They will just walk along.
They will walk along, and they'll jog between the cars and stuff. Because that's how you get across the street.
Yeah.
Because also, congestion is so bad?
Or? Yeah, congestion is ridiculous. Like, most motor traffic goes about 12 kilometers per hour.
Okay.
So you can do the math on that.
And that's less than 12 miles an hour for
it
anyone who's not
way
familiar
less
with
than 12
metrics.
Kilometer
an hour.
Is less
like,
than
that speedometer part where it starts actually working.
Yeah.
You're below that.
Okay.
Yeah, like you are barely moving.
The needle on your speedometer never rises.
Right. So the fastest way really to get around in London is you either get on the underground.
The tube,
yeah. Right? Or you get on one of the trains. The trains haul butt in and out of London. And there's a ton of them. There's like, four main stations?
Yeah.
And tons of trains in and out.
Yeah.
And then there is, you can cycle, which is probably faster than even the underground half the time. And they are building a bicycle highway.
That's
not like...
like separate from the road infrastructure.
Yeah. It's not like where we built a bridge and then we put some stop signs and some stoplights and make people stop all the time to go across it.
Uh-huh.
It's like a full-on multi-lane bicycle highway.
Like bicycle priority.
Right. Totally bicycle priority. No interruptions. You come in, you go out.
Kind of like what used to exist in Los Angeles?
Yes, exactly like that one.
Because there used to be an elevated cycleway over Los Angeles back
right,
in the day.
All the way up into Pasadena, following along. Basically, if you want to know where it was at, you can ride on the Gold Line from Union Station, and it follows generally within a block or three the same path up toward Pasadena.
Okay.
Why did they get rid of that?
Well, it was one of those things where somebody said,
communists. It was
a fucking communist. But no, the guy was charging like 10 cents because it was toll road, just like everything else back then.
Privately owned and operated.
Right. Yeah. And he built it. But then a few people got pissy about it. And then somebody sued or something. I don't know. Some crap happened and he lost all his money.
No.
Kind of like most of the attempts to use private assets to build public infrastructure.
Sure.
Kind of fell apart.
Like the Hyperloop?
Yeah, like the Hyperloop. Like, if you can totally control the asset, it usually kind of works, like freight rail or stuff like that, or airlines.
Railroads did it well.
Right, exactly. But the second you have to kind of open it up, or people perceive it as completely public, like roadways, you have to open it up.
Sure.
And if it's a private asset, you're gone the minute everybody wants to use it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened, and people started walking on it, and it was kind of a mess. It was a neat idea, though, because it worked really well. You could go from Pasadena and just cruise right down on your bike.
Right, right.
Yeah. So...
Okay.
I think we should have like 50 of them here.
It seems like a great
story.
Idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the idea of zip lines all the way across town.
Oh, my
know?
God.
You
yes.
Strap
that would be,
in. And
that would be the raddest thing ever.
I'm going to get on at the Foster and 72nd Station and just like, you know, cruise all the way into downtown.
Yeah. People would be like, why did we travel other ways before? I don't know. This is so rad.
And then you have another one that like angles the opposite direction for when you want to take the trip back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you just, you know, you get your little wrench out and you just notch it up a few stories.
Wait, this is a self-serviced zip line?
Right, exactly.
That sounds dangerous to me. That sounds dangerous. I was in until then.
There's no way this could go wrong.
And it's kind of like, I mean, it'd be a little bit safer, you know, just because it's one person than like, you know, like offering people, I don't know, 3,000-pound things to drive around.
Right.
Yeah.
Which seems ridiculous when you mention it.
Yeah, when you look at the measurements and specs on that, you're like, whoa, why would I give anybody that thing to carry themselves around in?
Seriously. So London has an existing cycleway, like a
yeah, it does. So it has some... Well, this was under construction when I was there,
okay.
Which is like 4 months ago or something
yeah.
like that. And it's looking really nice so far. You can actually go dig it up on the internet and look up like London Cycle Highway.
Yeah.
And you'll also find that Londoners also sound very much like us Americans in regards to like, oh my God, the motor is going to kill us all, blah, 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 blah. And all the motorists are like, oh, the cyclists are psycho. We should just ban them all. They have a very... It's almost like we have a similar origin story somehow.
It's almost
as
like,
a country.
It's almost like this country is based on that one.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. I don't know why. It's so strange. But yeah, so they do have some infrastructure, and they do have some like dedicated cycle tracks that exist now.
Okay.
But for the most part, London is a giant city with a massive population with a ton of throughput. So it's kind of crazy seeing everybody. And the cyclists get really brave. I mean, they're right up on the trucks.
Right.
I mean, they could be hitching a ride any second and just like flying down the street.
Lucas Brunel and, style.
Exactly. And one thing I learned real quick too was, and I got there thinking like, oh yeah, I have to look the other direction. No. Don't get that in your head. When you go to London, you look all directions all the time or you will... If you don't get hit by something, you'll walk into something.
Oh, really?
Because stuff is everywhere.
Okay.
It's just completely random and haphazard.
Yeah. The only time I was there, I remember going to Piccadilly Circus, and there were just so many freaking people everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I went, like, in the middle of the week when, like, nothing is happening.
Uh-huh.
There's a gazillion people there. Like, what are you doing?
There's event.
Nothing going on.
It's like, we're all trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It was nuts. But it was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
I even went and saw, like, the Harry Potter... 9 3/4 or 8 3/4, whatever the fake stop where he walks through the wall.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They like, have one.
They have that. Yeah,
really.
Oh, and it has an endless line of
people tried to go
waiting to see it and take pictures with it. It's quite hilarious.
Nice.
The other thing I found fascinating is that old stop is in this very modern train station.
Okay, oh. I see.
Which totally threw me a curve. And right next door, of course, is the one that you go through the tunnel on. And it's old,
yeah.
And it looks really majestic, has a giant clock, big, you know, I don't even know how high the roof is, but it's beautiful. And I was like, now that fits the Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
Not this nice modern one.
Right, right. Except the modern age is when Harry Potter became a thing, so there's that.
Well, and it is technically the station that she was writing about.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it fits, but it doesn't fit. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Did you take the channel?
I did not go through the channel.
Okay. I mean, it's a big commitment, right?
You got to like go to Paris or something.
Right, right.
So it didn't work out.
Okay.
I did go north on one of the commuter lines, which, you know, went a measly like 100 miles per hour and touched around and stuff like that.
Pshaw.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a good trip. I did not bike more than 15 minutes while I was there.
Yeah.
Partly because I as a brave cyclist, was kind of like, man, this is nuts. And plus, I can walk everywhere in 2 minutes.
Yeah, like your fearless translates into interested but concerned. But when you
right,
there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, I don't feel like I am confident that I'm, used to the multi-directional traffic stuff
yeah.
and the small lanes, because all the lanes, they're not 12-foot lanes. These are like 10-foot.
Right, again, horse and carriage size.
Exactly, horse yeah. and carriage. And like the big highways that are two lanes in the city are two 10-foot lanes.
Okay,
so
yeah.
it's like two trucks that have like kissed themselves together and are driving down the street.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just nuts.
And you got wind shear to think about and that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, nope, I'm not quite in that space
Seriously.
Yet. I need to be here for like a month or two before I have my head wrapped around it.
Plus,
so
there's also the mind fuck of like the lanes are reversed, right? So you're like driving
yeah.
on
well, and then they
the
do
wrong
weird shit
side,
too.
As it were.
They
the
have
street.
Like zigzaggy stripes everywhere that mean one thing for the buses.
Oh,
and
really?
Then they have the buses too. Anyway, that's
double decker.
Yeah, and
I mean some of them.
Then they have like circle things in there, and they have some other stuff painted in the street. And uh-huh. I'm just like, I don't even know what that shit is.
It's like
really,
you
yeah.
have to be from there in order.
Right,
to
Right, you have
what
to spend. Right, you have to do real London time. To figure out what's going on in the
right,
streets.
Right.
Otherwise, you don't know.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Who's we have a listener in Leeds, I remember. I think that's how you say it.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote in.
I would love our listener in Leeds to chime in sometime about, like, are we just crazy or is it really nuts? Like, you know,
well,
if you're British, is it easier to figure out or does it matter?
I would say that I bet after a month or two, I'd be like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh,
blah,
sure.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like, just being there for like the week and a half that I was there,
yeah,
I was like, I'm
not trying.
I don't know
it.
What's going on yet.
Yeah,
so it took me a while. But like when I went to Amsterdam the year before, like I instantly got that. But
right.
I had studied it. I had looked into what their system worked like.
Uh-huh.
So when I got there, I'm like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. This is easy.
some pre planning and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Some practice.
But London, I was just like, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, yeah. You were traveling and speaking. You said.
Yeah, I was doing a presentation there at one of the geek nerd conference type things.
How did that go?
It was very cool. There was like 200 people there or something, and they stood there and listened to me. So
nice.
I marked that as a one that was successful.
That's a yeah. win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you speak about?
What did I speak about? Oh, functional programming and deployment on not Windows.
Ah.
That's what I'm
not
about.
Windows.
I'm not Windows. It was easier to exclude the one thing
sure.
instead of like list all the things that it would work on.
Than to say like Unix, so. Linux, Mac OS.
Right, is that FreeBSD,
okay.
AIX,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, go through the whole
HTML,
list.
Flash.
Right, yeah. yeah. So I just said the thing that I was not talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that worked pretty well.
Was
so everybody liked it.
Transit
cool.
specific?
It was what?
Transit specific?
It was
or
not.
No, this was
It
this
was just
tech
like
related.
Make computers work for you specific.
Okay. So get away from the man.
Yeah.
Being Bill Gates.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. Okay. Well, congratulations. That's good.
Yeah. It was at a Bill Gates conference, too.
Oh, it was?
It was about Microsoft Tech. So.
Really?
I'm always the asshat that's like, I'm going to talk about how to not do stuff with the stuff we're talking about.
It's quite subversive.
Yeah.
Nice. So London, where else did you go?
The other place that I spent quite a few weeks in was Krakow, or Krakow. I don't know. They say it slightly different than everybody else. So
sure.
I don't know.
Poland.
Yeah. So that was actually a kind of a shock.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, that city is very polluted.
Okay.
You mentioned that a lot in your write-up.
Yeah. I was blown away because I was breathing that shit.
Right.
And I've been to a lot of cities in America, and I'm like, wow, our cities aren't that dirty.
Uh-huh.
Not particularly their fault because it's in a valley, and
sure.
they get to deal with crap from the Belarus.
Kind of like run off
Ukraine,
from everywhere else.
Right, the rest of Poland. So they kind of get the raw end of the stick in that regard.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was honestly blown away by, because I knew there was going to be trams. I knew there'd be an old downtown with streets the size of like my thumb.
Right.
And things like that. But the way they have built out the city, because it's about 750,000 people now, all of the expansion outside of the core has been these large apartment or flats, complexes. There's some single unit housing too, but not a lot. But everything is built so that you can get to downtown on transit or whatever within about 15 to 20 minutes
okay.
from anywhere in the city. And you can bike basically anywhere in the city. There is cycle tracks everywhere.
Really?
And all this stuff is relatively new because in the communist era, it was basically like, you just can't go nowhere.
Right.
You suck. You're just normal.
You stay where you are.
Stay where you
Do
are.
Do your job.
We'll tell
the
you when you can die and when
yeah.
you can breathe and stuff.
Right.
And
here's your cheese.
Exactly. Here's your cheese. Sorry, it's moldy.
Yeah.
Not really.
Right.
So that's kind of how the communist era went. And Poland was never happy about that. They were
uh-huh.
actually kind of perturbed about that because they feel basically, if you look at World War II history close enough, they got jacked by England and France and the U.S.
Right,
not doing what we were supposed to do.
And,
right,
yeah.
Poland got attacked from both sides.
Right.
Germany and Russia, two of the most hostile countries in history.
Without particularly being on either side.
Right, exactly. So they were like, oh, shit. We're screwed.
Yeah.
But they were also one of the only countries that had a very, very active resistance of 400,000 some people.
Okay.
That were armed and actively resisting during World War II.
Right.
But then at the end of World War II, we didn't get there fast enough. The Allies didn't get there fast enough. So they got jacked and got
so
stuck in the Soviet
era. This is ours.
Era.
Right. Right.
We've got this one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they were able to keep a lot of their history, like their churches and other stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So when you go to Poland, you get to see a lot of this, and it's amazing architecture.
Yeah, yeah. Because London got bombed.
Right.
Like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, most of Europe, too, got smeared all over the place.
Yeah.
And Poland, like the Soviets came through fast enough through Poland and didn't destroy stuff after the war,
mm-hmm.
which is
kind of odd.
Right.
Given the
I think it was like a political thing where they were like, oh, you're going to be communist, but we're going to make it look like you kind of did it of your own free will.
Right.
Of course,
right.
Which is after the wall came down.
I mean, that was the tactic for a lot of the satellite countries.
Sure. Right, exactly. And of course, when the wall came down, it became very, well, I mean, we kind of knew that already, but it was very obvious because every country was like, Russia, go to hell.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and they just like distanced themselves from that, immediately went west. And Poland's one of those countries that has done a ton of development since then and just massive changes.
Sure.
Like I remember sitting and reading books about Poland and the Bloc states and how they looked and how they did all these flats and how they did all the construction and how people had to live. And I'm like, wow, this is nothing like that.
Right.
You know, I can see some of the Soviet stuff, but for the most part, they have completely modernized their places. Like they have their Home Depot type of parallel thing.
Uh-huh.
And they have like malls and other junk like that. Of course, the difference is it's not like sprawly junk. It's actually got infrastructure that connects it. So
yeah.
You can go on the tram or you could drive if you needed to pick up some stuff.
Sure.
Or you could walk or you can do
that
whatever.
That new toilet seat could go home any number of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's really interesting the way they've built that because a lot of, like nobody in the U.S. knows anything about Poland.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're just like, oh, that was one of those countries that was under the Soviet thing.
That's me. I don't know much about Poland.
Right. I mean, I didn't know anything about it until I went over there and
yeah.
I found out all this stuff. And
yeah.
then I see these, like, the designs of the cycle tracks and everything, and I was blown away.
Sure.
So I went on, I don't know, dozens of cycling trips all over the city.
Uh-huh.
And they have big old parks you can ride through along the river. You can go to downtown and go see the castle or castles. Because, you know, they have those
right.
all over the place in
yeah.
Europe.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's really hard for me to kind of wrap my head around because we don't really have many castles here, and many of them are kind of...
The ones we do have were, like, built as kind
yeah,
of a thing. You
Walt
know?
Disney.
They're, like, blue and white and have princesses, like fake princesses.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was super fascinating to go over there and just learn so much stuff about that country and spend several weeks there meeting people that I knew and some that I didn't know yet and talking at conferences, doing workshops and things like that.
Yeah.
So it was super fascinating to kind of combine my interests. And then, of course, I basically bummed a bike from my Airbnb host
nice.
And then rode all over the place. It was
yeah.
like a Dutch cruiser. And I just, wherever I felt like going, I would go.
Totally.
And nice. It was interesting to see how they did their architecture too, because they have some limitations like us and, you know, like in the old part of the city, they can't just go in and tear it up and put in bike lanes or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So they have things work a certain way.
Sure.
And as I rode around, I started to figure it out. Like one thing they do, which I thought was fascinating here, we put a bike lane by the door zone.
Uh-huh.
Right
so, next to the parked cars.
Yeah. So that we can smash our collarbones and noses and stuff like that when we're riding down the street. Well, there they put the bike lane by the parked cars only if you are going head on into the cars, into the one lane, they see you. And when they're parked, you see when they're about to get out of the car.
Sure.
Right,
you have
right.
dramatically more visibility that way.
And the opening car door would act like a deflector as opposed to a barrier.
That is the exact other thing. And it's like, even if you do manage to somehow run into the door,
right.
you get bounced in the street, you tumble, you dissipate your energy. Whereas if you hit a door that's angled
inward
at
yeah.
you, it's like
yeah.
getting hit with a weapon.
Right, right. So what do you fall into is my question. But
I was just thinking, like, if it's parked facing you, the driver's side, which if it's a single occupant if it's a single occupant in the car, the driver's side is opening on the opposite side of you.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Ah. The other thing too is that's on one-way streets. On two-way streets, they just put cycle tracks in.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just like, nope, don't go by the car.
Completely separate.
Somebody's going to drive into you or hit you with a door.
Yeah.
So it was very nice to see that.
Yeah.
And it's separate from walking infrastructure too.
Sure. Like, so separate but equal. Like everyone gets a shot at going somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
It's like in the fact that you're not going to have to tangle with something that's not like you.
And then one of the things I didn't like that I do like here. I like to be able to. Yes, exactly. That's what I thought. That's what I was like. Oh my god! Whoa. But like, you can put your bike on the max here, or the bus.
You can't put
if
it.
You get
on
tired. That is not even a thought.
Like, fuck that.
No one has even contemplated doing such a batshit insane thing there.
Uh-huh.
They're like, no. If you're on the tram, you take the tram. But also, they come every 2 minutes.
Right. Right.
And they go everywhere in the city.
Sure.
Right. So it's a different mindset. It's like, if you're going to use a mode, you use that mode.
And you said there isn't as much sprawl there.
Right.
The whole multimodal thing is generally a way to solve your distance problem.
Right. The sprawl part. Right.
There's not too many reasons to take your bike on the tram.
Exactly.
Or train.
And I realize that as a super transit nerd, but as I'm thinking about it, people seeing this, if they're just trying to get somewhere, In Krakow, you would never think of taking your bike on the tram.
Sure.
There's people standing on the tram. They're going somewhere. Yeah. You wouldn't do that. And if you're on a bike, why would you want to get on the tram anyway? You only got to go right down the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's not like road warriors that are like, I rode 25 miles a day.
Exactly.
50 kilometers or whatever.
And the infrastructure is designed too where like the car pulls out of the way of the cars going through the intersection.
Uh-huh.
And there's a place to stop.
Ah.
Where they can let the pedestrians go by and not block traffic. I mean, unless there's like 20 cars trying to turn.
Uh-huh.
But it was like there's a flow going on.
Right.
And you can tell the second it starts, especially in any new intersection where it's designed for cars, trams, and all the stuff.
Like it all works together.
Right. You can tell that it's built to operate in this way.
Yeah.
And there's so many little neat little solutions in there.
I never thought such a thing was possible.
Yeah.
That's because I've never left America.
You go see these things and you'll just sit there and stare with your mouth agape.
Right,
and go,
right.
Huh.
Yeah.
It seems so blindingly simple now.
Sure. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about Portland these days?
I still love Portland.
Okay. Because I remember it was a little bit iffy about like America in general.
Yeah, well, so,
from your perspective, you're just like, if I didn't live here, I wouldn't live anywhere.
Yeah.
Stateside.
That's still pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
There aren't many cities that, most of the U.S. frustrates me beyond all recognition.
Yeah. Like Vancouver, Washington?
Yeah. I have found some pretty cool bike trails up there and stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So much of it, it's just like an accident almost.
Uh-huh.
It's like nobody really set out to go, let's do this really smart thing that'll make life better.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, derp, that happened. Well, I guess there's a bike trail there now. Things like that. It doesn't seem like there's a concerted effort to improve systemically.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, well, I got mine, so cool.
Right.
And then once in a while, somebody stands up and goes, hey, you know what? We should do a bike lane down this thing. And then people fight for it. And
somebody else
may or may not
get it. Right. Traffic to work better.
Right, exactly. So it's very frustrating in that sense. But one of the things that America does have, and especially after going to Eastern Europe and seeing it even more, like it's hard to see this stuff when you're in the northwestern corner of Europe, because northwestern Europe has got its act together in ridiculous ways. There's music, there's infrastructure, there's foodiness, there's all the stuff, right? So you go there and you get a very specific image of Europe. But then you look at the bulk of Europe, Italy, Spain, you know, you look at Poland, you look at some of those other places, and you're like, wait, maybe all of it's not exactly the same, because it's not.
They're all different countries.
Right. Yeah. Like one of the things in Poland that I noticed right off the bat is, you know, they might have had Chopin back there for a while, but I still think he claims France or something like that. But anyway, like they might have had some musicians way back in the day, but they barely have anything going on these days.
Musically.
Yeah, like really? I'm looking at Krakow, 700,000 person city. Portland's like 610 or 620. We have
Oh, you can't walk down the street without tripping over a guitarist.
Right, exactly. Like, you have it everywhere. And I've realized, aside from that little...
songwriting career.
Yeah, exactly. Like, besides that little corner of Europe, northwestern Europe there, and, like, little bits of England, like, music is not prevalent.
Uh-huh.
Like, you see a busker here or there, you know.
That's surprising.
But here... like, I realized after being there, holy moly, we have musicians everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, now, half of them are poor, about to starve and die and horrible things like that, but we got tons of them.
And half of them are not talented.
That too. But, I mean, you know, you go spend a week in the New York subway and you'll be amazed at that talent.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, I started realizing, you know, there is a lot of really amazing things that we do right here.
Right.
And one of the things, too, is... now, albeit, of course, there are a lot of jobs that suck, that don't pay well. We probably need to bump up. No, we don't probably need to. We need to bump up the minimum wage. Forget $15. It should be like at $25, like it was in the 50s.
People need to be able to afford to live near where they work.
Right.
Without breaking the bank.
Or live.
Yes.
That might be a good first step. Right. So there's a lot of people that are kind of in a bad situation in America.
Yeah.
Basically, the bottom 50% income earners are jacked right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're in the top 50%, you're doing really damn well. And I ain't even talking about one percenters. I'm just talking to, like, you know.
If you just happen to be of the 50%.
Yeah, higher. if you kind of get above that little crux spot, you tend to start doing pretty well. You can get great health insurance, albeit it's still a pain in the ass to go to the doctor and figure out what the heck you're supposed to be doing.
Seriously.
But, like, the things that you would expect in a civilized nation are available. And there's a lot of jobs and other things like that around that space. Like I said, there's still stuff to fix, but that's one of the things in the U.S. that there's still a lot of. Not so much in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sitting in Krakow and I've realized most of the jobs are for big multi-corps from England, the U.S., France, and Germany.
That's the thing I've heard about Poland, is that it's kind of, in a way, an exploited area.
It is.
It's just like it's that they're like kind of playing second string to a lot of other major players.
Yeah, and it's
not of their own accord, but just because like this empirical system.
I was going to say a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that the country. I mean, and I don't mean this in a harsh way to the people of Poland, because there's a lot of really smart, intelligent people. They're doing all sorts of great stuff.
Right.
But the country as a whole has been stomped on so many times in the last like several hundred years that they haven't quite been able to stand up all the way.
Like, they're still trying to rebound from all these various
It's
conflicts,
like,
that they were kind of under the heel of.
Exactly. Yeah. And at the same time, they're not sitting there going, hey, can I get a big handout to rebuild my country? They're like just doing it.
They're doing it. And
they're
it's
not,
beautiful. And
right,
you saw
exactly.
It.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of funny because they don't make the radar of like, oh, look at Poland.
Right.
You know? So yeah. It's interesting.
Not a squeaky wheel.
Not a squeaky wheel.
But there is some grease.
Just a wheel.
Yeah.
Just getting the job done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a super interesting trip, though.
That's fascinating.
It definitely opened my eyes to a lot of things. Because I remember coming back from Scandinavia, and I was just like, oh, my God, America, dumb.
Yeah.
That was all I could think. I was like, I don't know how we even function as a country after seeing Scandinavia.
Well, we need more daylight hours is what we need.
Right. Is that what it is? Because Scandinavia, I think, has less.
Well, in the winter, it's true. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, look, the sun. Oh, it's gone.
I've heard tales of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this bright thing that goes up somewhere in the darkness.
Somewhere in another hemisphere.
Right.
Nice. Well, that sounds like a fascinating trip. Is there anything else about that you'd like to share? Anything else that sticks out in your memory that we haven't asked you about yet?
I did get to go to Prague.
Prague,
too, Prague was super, super neat.
I've heard good things about Prague.
I enjoyed it because it's like a dirty, fun, exciting, adventurous place.
I think dirty is kind of like a quality that I appreciate anytime I travel somewhere.
No,
like,
it can add to the charm of the place.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, and that's how I felt too. Because,
it's not a negative descriptor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not negative, especially in this sense. Part of the dirtiness is the fact that it's a city that has things going on.
Sure. And it's old, so there's some dust.
Right. It's old. I mean, they have a proper subway.
Yeah.
They have trams because there's a lot of people there.
Right.
They have a fairly beautiful river.
Do we have a proper subway? Because we do have an underground stop.
Oh, yeah, the subway in New York, right?
I was talking about Portland, but, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my mistake.
Never mind. But yeah. Continue.
But, yeah, so, you know, it's a rather marvelous city. They got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
And at first, when you visit, you can definitely see like all the tourist stuff and think like, oh, wow, it's just a tourist city. But there's actually other activities that are going on, and there's parts of the city that are very unique and have a lot of character that aren't just like, oh, look, a big castle again.
Like legitimate commerce and culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it is a city that has its locals and a lot of cool stuff going on.
Here's a dumb American question. Is the Danube in Prague?
What?
The Danube River?
No.
No, okay.
The Danube...
I told you it was a dumb American question. No, it's okay.
Nah. You know, the funny thing is, now that you said that, I was about to say which river it was, and now I can't remember what river.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
The American dumbness has ruined me.
I've shared it with you, yeah. Well, fortunately, Aaron is here to check the internet for us. Oh, man. What, is it Budapest that's on the Danube? All the Europeans
remember.
Or anyone
I
who knows about Europe,
about
they're all screaming at their earphones
right now.
Oh, yeah,
they're
right
like,
now.
Why don't you know? And then you ask them, you say... So where does the Mississippi River start, eh?
The top part.
Yeah, the top
part. The bottom
part. They might
part.
Actually know that.
Probably
I don't know.
So.
I was impressed by how little Europeans know about anything west of the East Coast or east of the West Coast.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
anything
they're,
in the middle?
Right. They're like, oh, Chicago's there. And it's like,
yep.
Yes,
that's
true.
Right. Yeah.
It's somewhere there in the middle.
It's the locus of our passenger rail system.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've also found that Europeans find it fascinating.
The River? Voltava?
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. Vltava or something like that, yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I thought was hilarious was Europeans kept asking me, so how far is it from X point to Y point?
Oh, yeah.
American, I'd say, oh, it's like 2 hours. They're like, ha, see, you did it. And finally, I said, what did I do? And they're, see, Americans never know how far it is from point A, X to Y. They tell you how long it takes.
How long it takes.
Okay. And I'm like, no. I know how long it is. What do you want, kilometers, miles? And then they're like, oh, you know kilometers.
You want
like,
the fancy ones.
Yeah, I can do that. So it was just hilarious. They said, no, it's just fascinating that Americans always tell how much time it takes versus,
right.
you know, the actual distance. Because I asked for, how far is it from X to Y?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, I thought like you meant you were a human being that was going to travel from X
and
to
how
Y.
How long
yeah.
it would take.
Right, and I'm sorry.
Human being in a car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought that's what you meant.
Didn't realize you wanted a trivia answer.
Yeah. It's a 3-hour drive.
I did get the, how far is it to Seattle from Portland?
Oh.
And I said, well, regardless of what mode, it takes about 3 hours. Unless you bike, it might take 7.
Nice.
And they were like, what? You can bike there?
In 7 hours? Seven, I feel like that's pushing.
It's probably,
that's,
I was going to say, it's probably like 10. But I told him it's like, yeah.
But yeah.
I told him the specifics of what happens if you try to drive or if you try to fly or if you try to take the train.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no matter what, it's basically going to take you about 3 hours to get from door to door of where
sure.
you're going to go.
Yeah, because like flying with TSA.
Well,
right?
TSA, and also you got to get to the airport. And then when you get to the airport there, you got to get from the frickin' airport to Seattle
to
still,
wherever you're
which
going.
Is
yeah.
30
yeah.
miles away.
At
still.
Least they have light rail now.
Right,
yeah.
Which is super nice.
Yeah, which I've still never ridden. My
really,
wife has. I'm jealous.
It's. I like it. I don't like it as much as Portland's.
Oh, sure.
Theirs is a little different. It's
how
weird.
Could you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it does have tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag subway.
Oh, yeah. It has a tunnel, and then it has another tunnel because
yeah.
it goes into the city, which is technically... And I know some Seattleites are like, what? What do you mean a subway? It is a subway.
Right. It's subterranean.
Right.
It's underground.
Right. And they're about to extend it from where it ends at Westlake currently, which is the downtown shopping district where the monorail and the current streetcar are.
Right. That great monorail that goes from downtown to downtown.
Yes. Exactly. Basically the mall to the World's Fair of 1962.
Right.
So, yeah, there's...
The needle of space.
The Westlake, and then Westlake is being extended. The tunnel is being extended, which they had expected to do in, like, 1939 or something, but
well,
you know, everybody was broke.
Yeah.
And then a war broke out.
Yep.
But,
and a few more.
Yeah, exactly, and a few more. But the tunnel is being expanded. There's going to be an elevator that'll lift you up to basically Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill, yeah.
Right, and that'll actually get you connected to the First Hill streetcar.
Yeah.
Which goes from King Street... station basically to First Hill, which is really cool, and they finally got their streetcars a year and something late, but they're testing them right now.
Fabulous.
And they'll be running real soon. But also then the next stop on that light rail line is going to go all the way out to the University District.
Oh yeah,
which is super freaking
nice.
cool, because right now
yeah
it's like a 35-minute trip
mm-hmm.
or something, because you
that'll
get stuck
be
in
big,
traffic and
big boon
yeah it's like a 6 minute trip on the light rail.
Totally.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, because everything, like all the traffic going from the university district to south of that canal or whatever it is, mm-hmm. is like it's all funneled down like two or three bridges, and there's
right.
no
and,
way to get through it.
And it, and all of it is, none of it is oriented to going to the university district.
Right.
That's the other crazy thing.
Right.
Because like I-5 just kind of bypasses it
uh-huh.
And heads north.
Although you can see the Huskies Stadium from the
freeway.
Oh,
yeah, you can totally see, like you can see university district, but then yeah. you got to get to it once you get out the interstate.
Yeah.
And then there's the canal. Or the whatever they call that, the thing they dug out that goes uh-huh. to Lake Washington.
Yeah.
But there's the bridge that goes over that. There's like two little bridges or something. Mm-hmm. But none of them are really oriented toward a ton of traffic going across.
Right. They're very small bridges.
Yeah. And
so,
they're
yeah.
like 20 mile per hour bridges.
Right.
Something. Like you don't get to go cruising over there straight to University District. You go across and then you got to zigzag and you got to get up the hill and then you got to go around a circle or something and then you're there.
Yeah.
So that alone takes some time. And the other crux, too, is Seattle has a thing called the Mercer Mess, which is right there where South Lake Union is. It gets on I-5.
Yeah.
And it is a cluster.
Right.
And they've done a lot of work recently to try to fix it, but it's still a serious clusterfuck.
Well, is this where the freeway goes underneath all the high-rise buildings?
It's right before it.
Oh, before it. It's, because it's like four lanes of freeway go down to two or something.
Yeah, and it's all – it's basically where the entire – northern part of the downtown area
uh-huh.
feeds back onto I-5.
Ah.
So oh, it's, yeah. It, I know what you're talking about
It's
now.
Just a, it's bad math is
yes.
what it is. Like
yes.
whoever did the math for this.
There's some guy.
Got high before
some
they
guy.
Did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But recently
Jimi
they.
Jimi Hendrix.
They disconnected, they pulled apart some of the four-way stops
uh-huh.
and made it where like the traffic is funneling more directly onto the interstate, which
okay.
I also think is funny. It's like, oh, yeah, because they have somewhere to go in the parking lot that's called
let's
I-5.
Put them all on the freeway.
Right. So it's moderately better, but it's still a complete cluster right there.
Right.
And
right.
that actually holds up traffic.
That's why there's a 405.
Right, exactly. And it holds up traffic on the side roads trying to go to University District from
oh,
downtown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's going to make the light rail even more freaking awesome.
Transit is the answer.
Yeah, it is. I mean...
We will make you a believer today.
Oh, yeah.
We're accepting donations for these fancy keychains.
Oh, yeah? It's going to fund the Highway 90 light rail, Link light rail. Or
that's right, yeah.
That's in the works, too. That should be done around, I don't know, 2032 or some nonsense.
Not soon enough.
Yeah,
but you know what people
enough.
Can do in the meantime is find some sort of self-locomoted... transportation option.
Yeah, some, type of, some type of active thing.
Right, right. Yeah. Some way in which you were actively transporting yourself.
I do got to say,
yeah,
I went to Seattle last week. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Holy crap. Yeah, it was last week. And holy moly, they have done so much for cycling in just the last like 2 years.
Oh, good. I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah, like they have cycle tracks places.
And
oh,
they
really?
Have, like actual, you know, separate ways to go.
Yeah.
And it's getting better there because seriously, when I lived in Seattle in 2010 and 2011,
uh-huh.
cycling there, you had to be kind of like New York crazy style.
Right. Or London crazy.
There. Right. Exactly. Or yeah. London crazy, except with a dramatically higher chance of getting smushed.
Okay.
Because Seattle was just a mess in that regard, but it's actually gotten a lot better and the transit's gotten better. It got worse there for about a year.
Yeah.
About 2013 uh-huh. or something. But then the last year and a half, 2 years, they've really gotten a lot of stuff fixed.
It's all evened out.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they're doing pretty good. And
nice.
They're starting to do like pinpoint fixes where there's
okay.
like serious congestion problems for the
yeah.
buses.
Yeah.
They go in, zonk that, and like redirect the cars and say, well, you're screwed anyway, so just deal with where your crap is. And they let the BRT buses go through. So it's quite marvelous.
Perfect.
I've been impressed.
Nice. Yeah, Aaron, you were there a lot like more recently than
yeah,
I was, I think.
Yeah, just this summer.
Nice.
It's not quite as intuitive as I hoped it would be.
No. There's still definitely, yeah. like, it's very clearly American bicycle architecture.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Well, you still have to know where things are. That's
right, it's
thing.
Like,
yeah.
oh, yeah, I know the cycle track just dumps you into this interstate, but, you know, you'll figure it out,
well,
right?
Well, and biking, like I'm used to here in Portland,
yeah.
you know, if traffic is going one way, I'll go along with traffic.
Right.
And there's a few of the cycle tracks that are
oh, yeah,
actually
where you're
going
head in.
Opposite
yeah.
of the traffic. And that got me into trouble a couple times.
Second Ave trips me out where you're going against the traffic.
Yeah.
And you have lights for it. And
you
I'm
have
just
your
like,
own lights for it.
Right. And yeah. I'm
like traffic
there,
lights, like signals.
Yeah, bicycle yeah. traffic lights. And I'm just
and
thinking like, oh my God, is this for real? Can I go? I don't know. There's cars everywhere
really?
Still.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Are they going to stop for me?
Right. I like,
there is a Santa Claus.
Yeah. I'm just kind of freaked out on that one. It is an improvement over the mess that was there before where it's just like one bike lane.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, just go downhill 40 miles per hour with these cars in the door zone.
Right.
Oh,
what
God.
Could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing can possibly go wrong here. Oh, and by the way, people will left hook you.
Right. Oh, well, that's Seattle. I mean, go there. Go check it out. Yeah. That's a thing you should do. Go to Seattle. Go now.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And do it before they take the Space Needle down or something.
Really?
No.
Or before it actually levitates into space.
Right. I'm pretty sure they'll have the Space Needle there for another 100 years.
Well, I would imagine so. And the monorail that goes nowhere.
Yeah. So. I tell you what, if you have to go to Westlake to the 1962 World's Fair, it is crazy efficient.
Yeah.
If you need to go anywhere else,
you need to do
pointless.
That specific trip.
Right.
If you're at the Pacific Science Center and you feel like, oh, I could really go for some mall shopping right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that's neat is that they've served 82 million people on this thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the monorail?
On the monorail.
Surprising number of people that go to the Pacific Science Center want to go mall shopping afterwards.
I mean, how many of them, though, are tourists? Are
regardless of what they are, what's cool about it is, so there's 82 million people that have ridden this thing or whatever since 1962.
That like the idea of a monorail ride.
Right, and they've all paid a fare.
Right.
That completely covers the cost of the entire thing.
Totally.
So Seattle hasn't technically paid a penny for this thing.
Right,
it's all the tourists that have basically paid for it.
Yeah.
So
did Elvis make a movie for this one? I forget.
You know, it is funny that on the stats, they put up a bunch of LCD screens up in the Space Needle now, and they have cool pictures and stuff, and they're like, 82 million people have been to the Space Needle, and one Elvis.
One Elvis, yeah. Yes.
So I thought that was pretty funny. So he's made a movie or done something in the Space Needle and on the thing.
Totally.
But I haven't seen the thing.
So oh, Aaron, you should turn up all the mics right now because the train's going by.
I was
going
to say, so do I hear a train?
You do. I'm even going to turn up the one mic that we don't even have on.
So that is a freight train.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that.
Because the passenger train went by earlier.
It did. It did. Yeah, it moves faster.
Yeah. It's
Thanks, sick. Aaron.
Yeah. Then I turned you guys way too
Thanks
far.
Thanks for indulging us. Okay. I think you could probably turn me down. I feel like I'm way louder.
Oh,
All right. Well, Adrian, thank you for sharing some stories and some thoughts and whatnot.
Absolutely.
It's been too long. Let's do this sooner next time.
For sure.
Can you hang out with us for...
We could wait a quarter.
We could.
Or half a year.
Let's make it some sort of some sort of half-life system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Until finally you're on twice a show.
Yeah.
Do you have time to hang out with us for our news and mail?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Sounds good. Well, here comes our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
It's a special transit edition.
Nice.
Kind of.
So our first headline is more of an announcement.
Yes, which is very exciting.
Yeah, we got a new podcast in the studio.
Yeah, we do.
And not just a new podcast that is recording out of the studio. Oh, and Adrian opened the.
That was the 10-50.
Yeah, 10-50.
That thing will knock you on your ass. It's such a good beer. Oscar Blues. Thanks to the beer mongers.
Yeah.
Dude.
This is a podcast by our very own Steph Routh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, our friend Steph Routh. She has been talking about doing something, and she's working on this with Michael Tete from the Community Cycling Center.
And I would like to say that I may or may not have been instrumental in naming this podcast.
I would like to say that you're probably right.
This came out of a conversation that Steph and I and Anna had outside of a Fred Meyer's one time.
Oh, nice. Is that the one where it was hard to park your bike?
No.
Oh, okay.
This one was easy.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I was on the other side.
That's why they got to have the conversation.
It makes it easier. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we all just ran into each other there, and she was talking about this new podcast she didn't have a name for.
Oh, there we go. The Nameless Project.
But the name is called Why isn't anyone talking about this?
Why isn't anyone talking about this?
The focus of this is about a number of issues. I'm going to guess mostly here in Portland, but probably affecting wider variety of things.
Sure, archetypes.
That aren't getting as much attention as, like, say, the Clinton diverters.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm for them.
Sure. Inside baseball for Portland people. Yeah. But yes, there are things that are like the sexy topic is like, are they going to stop the cars driving down Clinton Street? The less sexy topic is why can't anybody afford their rent?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's actually the subject of their first episode.
Totally. The renter's SOS.
Yes.
Yeah. Or is it renter SOS?
State of emergency.
Yes.
It's because the suburbs suck. Everybody moved.
Everybody wants to
go back to the suburbs.
That's one solution. We need more transit.
So they describe themselves as an inquisitive, authentic look into the relationship between justice and the built environment.
I love this.
Conversations with leaders, fighters, and everyday people hoping and working for change. Unapologetic, well-informed, and ready to challenge you. Are you ready?
Yes, I am. And the other thing is that this first one features, I don't know exactly what their format is for future shows, but Michael is the lead interview for this, or interviewer. Like, he's asking the questions. And he is a very incisive and good question asker. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear him putting his voice behind this.
And if you get to their website, I just found this out. You go to their website, which I couldn't rattle off to you right now.
It's why isn't the... or. No, excuse me.
Why isn't anyone?
Whyisn'tanyone.com.
.com. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And you click on like their sort of list of people associated with the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And you have Adonia Lugo, who I cited in the headlines last week.
Yes, in last week's news. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of really deep thinkers.
Yeah, totally.
As far as infrastructure and what's going on here in the city.
And asking the important questions that it's like, it's one thing for me to have a good time on my bike somewhere. It's another thing for us to live in a world where everyone can have that opportunity to have a good time on their bike somewhere. So, you know, and that all relates to how we build social structure in society and housing. So, yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. All right. Next up from I don't know how to pronounce this specifically, aeon.co.com.
Aeon?
Sure.
Aeon?
Is it .com or .co?
.co.
.co.
I left that M out on purpose.
Oh, good.
The title is Why Boring Cities Make for Stressed Citizens. And this is an analysis of a study this guy did in New York. And I'll just read the short blurbs that I pulled out. It's a huge article. I'm not even done reading it, but it echoed a lot to some of the things that I've been experiencing and some of the things that we used to complain about. Remember when we used to complain about Division Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before we gave up on Division Street.
I was going to say, what was the complaint at that point in time about Division Street?
There are any cool bars.
Yeah.
It was dead and mostly decaying cars and parking lots.
It was like, so there was all this sort of renewal, but it was, to me, it was like, at what cost? But anyways, so this little blurb here. In 2007, the Whole Foods supermarket chain built one of their largest stores in New York City's storied Lower East Side, occupying an entire block of East Houston Street.
Or is it Houston Street?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Man, I think it might be Houston. I'm not sure, though.
Really?
Yeah. It's okay, though.
I think it is Houston Street. Because the only place it calls it Houston is Houston.
Well, now.
That's what I've heard.
But don't let me distract you.
All right.
Except
so
in Europe.
East Houston Street from the Bowery to Christie Street. Is that pronounced Christie or Christie?
Christie. I don't know.
For the well-off, the abundant available of high-quality organic foods was a welcome addition. But for the majority of locals, many of whom had roots going back generations to New York's immigrant beginnings, the scale of the new store selling wares that few of them could easily afford was a symbolic affront to the transitions of this part of the city. My interest was more pedestrian. How did this megastructure, plopped into a neighborhood populated with tiny bars and restaurants, bodegas, pocket parks, playgrounds, and many different styles of housing, influence the psychological state of the urban pedestrian? I led a small group from site to site and had them answer questions that assessed their emotional state via smartphone. At the same time, I had participants wear bracelets that measured their skin conductance, a simple but reliable window into their alertness, readiness to act, pay attention, or respond to threat.
Interesting. And what did they find?
You'll have to read the article.
Oh, can you tease?
No.
Well, the title of the article.
The analysis is so far down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's in a navel somewhere.
There's a lot of narration because he, in this article, he actually details where exactly he took everybody.
Okay.
And some of their responses to those.
But it seems that by the title, boring cities do make for stressed citizens.
It does.
It's interesting, too, that he's doing that in New York, one of the most active, not boring cities on Earth.
You would think so.
Right.
Right. Right.
I realize there are parts, though, that are not.
Yeah, the crux of this thesis is that, you know, it used to be a vibrant area.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And it's slowly becoming sort of, quote-unquote, renewed.
Pedestrian.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's terrible, isn't it? It's sad that word has to have that correlation.
Right. Yeah.
When you're not talking about walking somewhere, you're talking about it being boring.
Yeah.
But. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so it sounds like a good read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up.
Also.
You know what we got?
We got syphilis.
Hey,
we got
syphilis.
Not us personally, but you know.
Portland from OregonLive.com.
I took my penicillin.
Portland, known for bicycles, beer, and syphilis. The metro area ranks fifth nationwide in the number of cases per capita. The state is eighth, according to the CDC.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
didn't
no kidding,
we just
right?
get, we got the frickin' bubonic plague too recently.
Did
we did?
Yeah.
Like
we got
the plague?
We got the plague.
The
Wait,
plague.
The Black Death.
Who got it?
Someone in Oregon got the Black Death.
Holy shit.
I thought it was dead.
It is. Until
it's supposed
it comes back
to be.
Alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was blown away when I read it too. I was like, are you kidding me? How does this work?
That's
somebody
hilarious.
In Europe sends me a message and says, hey, watch out. The plague is in Oregon.
You got to be shitting me.
No. And, of course, his joke is, we already experienced it, but you have fun.
Hey-o.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Europeans
so
have
here.
A great sense of humor.
Oh, they do.
It's gone from almost nothing to a substantial number, said Dr. Sean Schaefer, a medical epidemiologist with the Oregon Public Health Division.
Yeah.
We'll have 500 cases this year. That compares with 30 statewide in 2007.
Cool. There's a bunch of, like...
Almost all the cases, 90%, are men.
Okay, so wear protection.
Wrap it up.
Does that help?
Wrap it up.
Okay,
yes.
I forget how that works with these things. Okay,
you didn't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah. I guess, but right, but you never know. Okay.
Yep. Adventures will happen.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Get a parachute.
Well, it's A bunch of World War One soldiers have just come back to town, apparently. Okay. So.
Did this correlate with Fleet Week?
I don't know.
Ooh. Man.
Was that? Sorry.
We just lost. We just lost our more patriotic listenership.
Yeah.
All right,
what else we got?
A little bit more lighthearted. Here.
Yeah, lighthearted.
Yes.
You say
from Lovely Bicycle.
Lighthearted.
Do you know this blog?
No.
Oh, you should.
Wait,
read it.
I mean, I know of it. I don't read blogs anymore. That's the thing. I wish I did.
People read articles, not
Sorry.
Blogs.
Well,
that's what the analysis is.
Yes,
so
I read
we
shares.
Read blogs, we just
sometimes.
Don't read them every day.
Right. I don't follow blogs as much as I used to.
Right. And you were saying
The title of this is "Friend Forgot Their Set of Lights." Form a bike train in the night.
Bike train.
Yes, a fairly straightforward concept. One person gets the headlight and cycles in the front. The other gets the taillight and cycles in the back. You ride in as tight a procession as possible, never separate, and never change positions. In this manner, you essentially become a tandem bicycle with one complete set of lights.
See, I think this is a great idea. It was poo-pooed by various people over times. Like, you know, just the idea that if you don't have lights. It was, did you see that video from the Portland Mercury? About,
is it the lights and pants?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
Sure, but I mean,
like if you
sometimes
walk,
you just forget your lights.
You walk between two people wearing pants,
die, you know?
And you don't have pants, and you're okay.
Right.
But I think that's a good idea. I think, like, if you don't have lights, it's better than nothing.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I agree.
But I would not take like five people without lights and sandwich them between two sets of bike lights.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
I don't. Yeah,
especially considering that even when you have bike lights, that doesn't mean people in cars see you.
Right, right.
Like you could have 50 lights on your bike. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Any visibility is going to show people that have the insight to look for things that are moving around on the street.
It yeah okay yeah so, yeah.
It's better than nothing.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I like this. It's a good idea. You know, I had this idea since I have a dyno hub, and you have a dyno hub now too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I want a dyno hub.
You should get one.
That's I so should.
You should build it.
I have a my wife has a bike with a dyno hub.
Uh huh.
I don't.
Oh, you should steal hers.
I do sometimes. Because, I mean, when I need to go to the store, which is like right up the street, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take your bike. Boom.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to like attach lights and
do
all that kind of crap.
Right, right.
Fish around in the bottom of your bag.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
where they inevitably end up.
Right,
anyway.
Right, exactly. And you like under stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I like have to take everything out and I'm like, oh, I lost my light. And then I right. take everything out and I'm like, oh, there it is on
right.
the bottom.
Yeah.
Where I couldn't get it. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what I was thinking is that you could totally, like if you have a dyno hub, you could buy extra light fixtures and like put them anywhere.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think I might do this someday. I might just get like a ton of lights and like fix them up to stuff.
Just wire them up.
And run those wires to the existing system.
The other thing that I worry about with this,
uh-huh.
because I've had so much stuff taken off of my bikes.
Oh, yeah,
it
yeah.
drives me nuts.
Uh-huh.
I've lost a seat. I've lost the other lights at the other,
right.
the other show I
oh,
came
yeah.
to.
Sorry
somebody
about that.
Jacked
I
my
lost
stuff.
My pump that night, by the way.
Oh shit!
Oh no shit!
Yeah.
It was a spate, of theft.
Yep.
The crazy thing is there's a very specific part of town that this always happens to me in.
Right here.
Oh, really?
It's right, around here,
oh.
right over at the school in Ladd's Edition.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And right around here, and right just over on what is it, Powell and McLaughlin?
Uh huh.
Or
yeah.
not McLaughlin, but Milwaukee Street.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
around there.
Mm-hmm.
There are always people scraping stuff off of my bike.
People up to no good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, it's not like these people are going to hurt anybody. Most of them are just jacking your stuff to make a few bucks.
Sure.
But it's annoying as hell.
It sure. totally is. So disguise your fixtures.
Yeah. You're totally safe. Just well, your stuff isn't.
That,
yeah.
That was kind of the thing with dyno lights is it's at least a little bit harder to
a little
yeah.
bit.
Although you got to take off the bolt or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what's awesome though is the Van Moofs or Van Hoofs, or
yeah,
whatever they're called.
Van Moofs.
They're in the frame.
Oh yeah.
Like, you gotta cut the frame off of something before you get the lights.
Right.
Which is
right.
You'd be a real idiot to do that
because
you'd ruin the product altogether.
Sure,
you would.
Sure.
But the only crux
lights.
Is the bikes are a little pseudo awkward.
They're kind of funny shaped.
Yeah, they're a little funny shaped.
Okay.
I don't know how that
yeah.
works, mm. but I don't know.
One
of these
step
days,
at a time, yeah.
I'll be as cool as you guys.
Well, I don't know. I think you already are. You did go to Europe twice.
Thank you, sir.
How many times did you and I go to Europe between the two of us?
Once.
I played some songs
hey, that's
by
good.
Europe.
You went to Germany.
Oh,
once.
Yeah.
But that was like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Four.
Oh, in the last year? Yeah, we definitely.
Yeah, the last year. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what, though? You're doing pretty damn good if you get to get out of the country.
Oh, well,
seriously.
Again,
so,
4 years ago. Or
thumbs
whatever.
Up. Hey,
oh,
Mexico City coming up.
That's right. You
there you
are.
Go.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. You got to take a recorder with you.
I might.
Yeah
do
there's
that.
A Brompton club over there.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You
yeah,
totally
yeah.
got to take a
yeah,
recorder with you.
We're taking Bromptons with us. We're
fabulous.
This Brompton club.
That's awesome.
Look up Pimp My Bike.
Oh, yeah.
It's this Brompton club that like tricks out their Bromptons.
So this sounds great.
Mexico City.
Nice. Do they have sound systems?
I imagine so.
This sounds cool. Nice.
Now you guys are reminding me of something else I got to get back to work on.
What
I
you got
my whole yeah. Surly trailer, the
oh.
6 foot one.
Wait, yeah. do you have the? Is that the bill?
Yeah, the bill is the larger one.
Yeah, the bill.
Yeah, nice.
And I have all these plans for it, and I've even sketched out most of them
uh-huh.
for a sound system, for like chair for a person that doesn't want to ride the bike today.
Right.
To you know, 50 cats, whatever I want to carry.
I want
right?
to see that one.
Like, I've got all these plans, and I have done nothing so far, so I really got to get back on that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't have any trips to Europe planned. So,
right.
I don't have any trips to Europe planned, so I should be able to get back on that.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. So, you got plans. You know what we got?
What do we got?
We got
mail. Hey, we got mail.
We got a nice transition there.
That's right.
First up, a couple of tweets. One from Sebastian
Tweets.
Poole. says, Sprocket Podcast, want to try mountain biking again?
Yes.
And sends us a link. Did you follow this link?
I did.
Isn't that a cool thing?
So I'm going to Louisville in March.
You really are?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's a work thing. There's a giant school bus conference in Louisville, Kentucky.
Nice.
So they're sending me, and I was like, hey, who should I talk to when I go to Louisville? And apparently there's an underground mountain bike park there. It's in a cave.
What?
Yeah. So that's a thing I should check out.
And they're like, it's not just like a mountain bike park. Like,
it's in a cave.
It's in a cave, but like there's like some really like advanced jumps.
Right.
You know?
Right. And,
like all just sorts of weird shit going on.
If I was going to wear a helmet anywhere, it would be in a cave.
Does it have a name? The cave? I mean, besides like...
That's a good question.
Park thing in a cave?
Oh, man. I followed the link, but I do not remember.
It's getting... I'm putting it on my list.
Okay.
This is going on the bucket
list. Of things to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to mountain bike park in the cave.
Right, right. So that's my plan. Krista Skukas also says, listening to Sprocket Podcast episode 254, Sober September and Sisfail while folding laundry. First thought, need beer with laundry folding. Hashtag point missed. So...
So apparently that was called the Louisville Mega Cavern.
The Mega Cavern.
Yep.
When just any ordinary cavern won't do.
Apparently. I like it.
Yeah.
Man-made underground limestone quarry.
Wait, it's a man-made underground? Oh, so it's a man-made cave.
Yeah.
But it's
it was part of a quarry, I guess.
Oh, okay. Right, right. So they got limestone and then they put mountain bike park in.
The pictures look amazing.
Yeah.
So look
yeah,
it
yeah.
up. Look it up right now. You will be like, what?
And it's fucking underground.
We'll play that video after we're done.
No
here.
Kidding. Yeah. Yeah. So.
So lastly, we. Oh no, not lastly. Second to lastly.
Second to lastly.
We got an extensive comment from Phil.
We got comments.
In Alaska. From our episode 264.
Yeah, this is Phil who wears a bear skin as a coat.
That's right.
I think.
Riding in the dark is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Each month, I put on a moonlit miles ride where we get. Out on single track from 8 to 10 p.m.
When
and enjoy the
rain
the natures.
Falls on my
I don't know what
it's
you're
a, it's a Rolling Stones reference.
Oh.
Moonlight Mile.
In the summer in Alaska, no lights are needed, but from September through May, it is dark, dark, dark.
Kind
of
like
totally
Europe.
Changes the feel
or
and experience of
yeah.
riding.
Indeed.
Yeah.
He also warns me, be careful of the N+1 trap. I, too, have recently expanded my stable to include a second bike. However, I've found that I still go to my beloved Pugsley for 99.9% of my riding duties and leave the other bike behind. And really, when you have a Pugs, what other bike do you need?
Really?
The new Wednesday, that's what.
Oh, I haven't looked at this.
Oh, yeah? Have you looked?
What is it?
So, Surly issued another bike.
It's called the Wednesday?
It's called the Wednesday.
Okay.
It's fatter than the Pugsley.
Some people call this riding on enormously fat tires through beautiful terrain. We call it Wednesday.
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think because Pugsley was taken, they took the other Adams, even though Wednesday was much thinner yeah. than Pugs.
I love
Pugsley,
their naming themes.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill, Ted,
yeah.
Pugsley,
right.
Wednesday.
Pop culture references.
Oh, yeah.
Krampus.
Yeah, it's
not pop
like
culture,
a,
but yeah.
It's like a more versatile Pugsley.
Is that possible? Apparently.
You'll have to check these specs out. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Anyways, he also says, bring Adele on the show more often.
We'll try.
I do envy the fact that your wife enjoys cycling as much as you and understands the draw of both cycling together and alone. Very cool. She's a keeper.
Oh, yeah.
He also suggests closing themes. You ready for this?
Yes.
Bill and Ted.
Ah.
Wayne and Garth, which I'll contest, are the same.
True.
Football announcers. Dueling Howard Cassells, which I think would be fun, but
I would have
immensely
to,
difficult.
I would have to learn what Howard Cassell is first.
Oh, yeah? He's a sports announcer.
Woefully deficient in my sports balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
And
okay.
Cheers.
Nice, nice. So we got to choose one of those for today, then.
It doesn't have to be one of these, does it?
It could be all four.
Oh, right.
From Logan in California, hey, Brock and Aaron, if I was in town, I would help you upgrade your RAM. Thanks, Logan. I know you would.
We can wait till you're in town.
That's true. We might.
we might end up waiting.
Again.
Anyway.
So thanks to Tim Mooney for the RAM, but we don't know how to do it ourselves.
We're too afraid to do it ourselves. He sends us a link to some instructions. iFixit.com.
Yeah,
and the instructions are quite difficult. And I highlighted, here's the step that is going to be the death of me. Step 9, be sure to keep track of the springs under each of the 3 antenna boards.
See, anything that involves springs or antennas seems to me like too much.
Yeah.
Because I've replaced my own ramp.
Step 9. Track of things.
Anything that has step 9,
yes.
That's a
too
problem.
Many steps.
Right? You're done.
Step 3 profit is the thing that I go to most often.
Exactly.
if there's a step beyond that, I'm not interested. Because what comes after profit? Loss.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, it's probably a good time to shut this show down.
Let's do it.
All right. Can you rotate the monitor
so I can see?
And what's our
the
theme?
Monitor.
What are we going to do?
Well,
and
usually
Ted?
The guest picks.
Oh, right. So, Adrian, what's our theme for closing credits?
Whoa.
How do I pick a theme? How shall we read the closing credits?
What kinds of voices do we need?
Muppets.
Muppets.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Okay. I could probably do a Kermit the Frog.
Hold on.
It's been a while. I gotta exercise my Kermit the Frog muscle.
I can't. I mean, I can. I
Swedish
know,
Chef.
I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, Swedish Chef.
I
love how much the Swedes actually correlate to that guy.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, they really?
They're like,
okay.
What? Nobody acts like that.
I was laughing to myself because I thought I'd do Beaker.
Oh, nice, nice.
But now the cat's out of the bag. I can't do that.
Oh, right. All right. Well, okay. So you have a thing.
Let me think.
All right. So I need to practice. Like our website is. Well, yeah, I've got it.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I'm not sure which character.
See, that's so many choices.
Email to.
All right. Fozzie
Bear?
That
was my worst. Yeah. That was
okay.
My best, but still the worst Fozzie I could do.
Okay.
Wait, does any Muppet count? Could I do like a
you
Sesame
could do
Street?
You could do tons of.
Right?
Yeah, you could do like
Snuffle
Cookie Monster. Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. Bert the Bird.
Which
thing.
Is basically Tom Waits, right?
Cookie Monster. There we go. I got it.
Okay. All right. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donor Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Wellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Brzezinski,
Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Castor,
Caleb Jenkinson, J.P. Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Christos Kukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zizen, and Richard G.
Go to bed.
And brush your teeth.
Right after eating cookie.